Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Pack Podcast.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's at ticketking.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to an instant reaction sort of show. I will not make the joke about this being a baseball show, although after watching that performance, I wish it was baseball season even more than I already did. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I'm playing hurt at the moment. Cold season did not hit me until right now. So I am in the midst of catching a cold, and I can feel it coming, and I hate it. But nonetheless, I am here. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf, and joined with me, as always, the delicate, delightful sounds of Jason Perrone. Jason, is JJ ready for Santa to come visit?
JJ is ready, and it wasn't the most delicate and delightful sounds. In fact, my wife and child actually bailed out and took off early in the first quarter to be elsewhere because they foresaw what the night was going to bring. So Santa's probably visiting them. I don't know if he's visiting me anymore after my few choice words earlier in tonight's game. And I will also now, Jacob, I do wish you to get well soon, as always. But I have to say that I guess I'll go ahead and take all of the can't catch a cold jokes for the Packers and just put those in the closet until next time for your sake.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't catch a cold tonight because I already caught it for them. Ugly performance, 16-0 final score at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. Packers shut out for the second time at home this season for the first time since 2006. That was Mike McCarthy's first year as the head coach, and those shutouts came at the hands of the Chicago Bears on opening day and the New England Patriots in the middle of the season. And that was a game that Aaron Rodgers actually ended up playing in, even though Brett Favre was the starting quarterback. So, yuck. That'll be my initial reaction. But at the same time, you know, we got the news early in the week that the Packers were going to shut Aaron Rodgers down. He was going on injured reserve. And you kind of got what the idea of this game was because pretty much any veteran that was on the injury report and questionable did not play. Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Demarius Randall. Is a Super Bowl contender, as disgusting as those words coming from my lips feel. It's the truth. You could kind of see, though, it was the plan was to evaluate young players. And at this point in the year, that's the right thing to do, in my opinion. I know some people want to, you know, that old school mentality of you play to win every single game and these guys should be out there and yada, yada, yada. But the reality is you're not going to learn much from Clay Matthews or Nick Perry in a game like this. You can learn about guys like Reggie Gilbert, who is elevated to the active roster today, or Vince Beagle, or God bless him, Kyler Fackrell, or some of the, you know, Michael Clark, guys on offense like that. Jason, were you surprised at all with the inactives list before the game? And do you think the Packers did the right thing by playing, essentially treating these like, I don't want to call them like preseason games because they still count, but, you know, essentially treating it like a preseason game?
At this point, all bets are off. So I'm not surprised by anything the Packers do. I'm not disappointed. I'm not shocked. I'm not overly happy. I'm not overly sad. You know, we had the silver lining of this whole thing we talked about last week, too, after the loss to the Panthers and knowing that Aaron Rodgers' season was over, was that, you know, we can set our expectations now and understand what this season is and is not going to be. So the inactives list didn't surprise me at all. In fact, you know, if anything, what we could talk about, and we probably should save this for after the season, which unfortunately comes in a week, did the fact that some of these guys didn't play today tip the fact as to, in terms of what the Packers might be looking to do with them? Clay Matthews wasn't inactive today. There's been a lot of discussion about what the Packers might do with him. So did that tip off the fact that maybe they do want to bring him back? They're trying to keep him healthy, and it's like, listen, let's rest him. Let's not overdo it. We know he's dinged up a lot. Let's give him some extra time to heal, and maybe he can hit the ground running during the off-season program. Just some food for thought there. I don't know enough to know if that's true, but that's just an example of one of the things that goes through my mind as I'm looking at the list today. We knew that Devontae Adams probably wasn't going to play. We knew Aaron Rodgers, obviously, season is over. And Jarry Evans went through an injury, had an injury. Obviously, he probably could not go at all because I don't know if he's missed a game this season. So, I mean, just disappointing overall. You know, it's not great to get shut out, but, you know, I don't think many of us expected the Packers to do a whole lot, and they did not disappoint us there. You know, we just kind of have to do what we do from this point forward. But we know where we're at, and we know what's going on, and the shoe's on the other foot. You know, again, like we talked about in terms of the Vikings and Packers, and it just feels a little weird. That's really all it boils down to.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this time a year ago, you know, you were looking at, it's kind of flipped a little bit from the standpoint of Vikings didn't start slow this year by any means. But last year, you know, they're 5-0 and they're firing on all cylinders. And the Packers kind of stumbled out of the gate. And then by the end of the year, you know, this time literally last year, the Packers kicked the crap out of the Vikings at Lambeau Field. There's dysfunction all over in Minnesota about defying Mike Zimmer's game plan and things of that nature. And now this year, the roles are flipped. The Packers came out firing. They look like the team to beat. They lose their starting quarterback, and now they're knocked out of the playoffs. And you've got kind of the same shit, you know, like 12 men on the field, 10 men on the field. Guys not catching passes that are right in their hands. It just looks like a disorganized, poorly functioning team. And that's kind of what the Vikings were at this time last year. It was a team that had fallen apart. So, with that in mind, everything at this point in the year kind of starts with the defense. And all in all, the performance isn't going to be terrible. They only gave up 16 points to an offense that had been playing very well. And they have some weapons on that offense. And the Packers are kind of outgunned. Like I just mentioned, their two best pass rushers and their best cornerback were not playing tonight. So, I mean, last week I told you I thought the Vikings would win 30-13. Now, the Packers didn't get to 13 points, but the Vikings did not get to 30 either. But overall, still, you see the same patterns of negativity, as Mike McCarthy worded it earlier in the week. The Packers have 12 men on the field twice tonight. That's a penalty that should never happen to a unit that is organized and functional. I know that they certainly did some good things, but Jason, this still can't take the bad taste out of your mouth that we were talking about last week. It doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It's just not a – as much as you can try to prep for it, and I just said we know what's happening here. You know, you want to see the Packers kind of go out on a high note, and I didn't necessarily think they were going to win this game tonight. And I can't honestly say I wanted them to, because at this point, call it defeatist or whatever you want, and I have, you know, bagged on people for having this attitude in the past, but you're going for a draft pick. You know, that's what next season is all about. We all remember what 2008 was. It was a disaster by the end of the season, but without 2008, we don't have 2009. You don't get some of the talent that comes in. The Packers win a championship the following year. So you kind of got to throw a stinker every once in a while to rebuild, and the Packers obviously they need some more talent on the field. There was just some very disturbing things that we saw this season on defense and coverage, and whether that was scheme or players, and I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I tweeted a lot this week, tweeted a lot about the defense, tweeted a lot about the future, what I think is going to happen with this team. And I'm, you know, like I've said, I'm firmly in the Dom Capers has to go camp, but I also think that there's definitely a lack of playmakers here, and it's, you know, the bad taste in your mouth is looking at this game film and thinking to yourself, okay, I've been the one that said, if you're one of those people that said Aaron Rodgers is the reason this team wins and he covers up all these warts, or, you know, if I've sat there and said that's foolish, come on, this team has more talent than we think. I look on film and I watch the way this team plays without Aaron Rodgers, especially defensive side of the ball, although the offense was awful tonight. The defense actually forced quite a few punts. The Vikings punted more than the Packers did, if you can believe that. That is what chaps me, is that now I don't know what to expect of this team moving forward. Is it just going to be the Aaron Rodgers show until he retires? That's just what it's going to be. Or is this team capable of actually bringing in some playmakers? We may never see the likes of the 2010 team and the type of guys that they had on the field in that season, but that's kind of what it takes. And so you're kind of a little nervous because you're hoping that the Packers can do the right things and make the right decisions to get back in it next year. And I think obviously the first step in that process is Aaron Rodgers playing 16 games, but obviously they need a little bit more around him.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing from tonight he can get is, you know, the starting corners were Devon House, Josh Hawkins, and Lindsey Pipkins. And, you know, with all due respect to those guys, they're NFL players, but that's not going to get anybody to mistake them for the Legion of Boom. It's a ragtag bunch out there at this point. I want to pause for a minute because we do have a guest, and he's from enemy territory, so he's smiling probably with some shit-eating grin from ear to ear right now because he's a Minnesota Vikings fan. And that is our friend. He's been on the show before. It's been a while, Eric. I don't remember the last time, to be exact. But it is Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman. He is a Vikings guy, Minnesota guy through and through, actually, because I figured out that he was a it escaped me that you were a Twins fan until the AL wildcard game, in which case, as you made the joke, that I probably root for the house in Las Vegas, which I still maintain the house is a Cinderella story that cannot be beaten. So, Eric, welcome. Introduce yourselves to our people. Who are you? What do you do? I kind of did a poor job there, but tell us who you are.
Hi. Eric Thompson. I write for DailyNorseman.com. Going on, gosh, almost about 9 years now. And, yes, a Minnesota-born, bred, and raised Vikings fan. And, yeah, I do have a pretty big grin on my face because the Vikings are in pole position for at least a first-round bye now, heading into Week 17. And although the game wasn't the prettiest game of football we've ever seen, the results I can't complain about.
Okay, so let's jump right in here, and I want to talk. I wish we could have done this before the game started, but, you know, it is what it is at this point. There's been a lot of discussion about the Vikings quarterback room, and you can make a pretty legitimate argument at this point, I think, that when all of them are healthy, the Vikings have three quarterbacks that are better than the Packers' backup quarterback who started tonight, which is Brett Hundley. But when Teddy Bridgewater returned from his horrific leg injury, and kudos to him for that because, I mean, by all signs, it was almost like that could have been career-threatening or maybe even life-threatening. They were talking about, I think at one point there was a discussion of whether or not they had to amputate his leg, which is horrifying because it was really just a drop-back. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy that happened. It was just a drop-back in practice. But Case Keenum comes in. They signed him in April. So this is a dude who was, I mean, dangerously close to not being in the league, and now he's the starting quarterback of a team that, as you said, is in pole position for at least a first-round bye and maybe home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But the question I have is, are there still any rumblings, or when, I guess not anymore, but when did the rumblings of put Teddy in and let him start all the way through the playoffs stop?
Well, there's still actually rumblings, if you believe it or not. There are definitely people that are kind of the Teddy or bust, but I think that everyone with a sane agenda has to realize that Case Keenum is the quarterback. Didn't have the greatest game by any means. I think the weather kind of affected him a little bit tonight. But, it's just such a crazy situation, like you touched on with Bridgewater. Just having him back at all on the roster this season is an amazing feat. And, yeah, I mean, it was pretty close. I guess it was a few minutes away from being a leg-threatening injury for Teddy Bridgewater. But, it's been so crazy to see just a guy that they kind of signed just as a backup plan to Sam Bradford, who, of course, in the mix, just as we saw him on the sideline, they panned to him a couple times tonight. But just they signed him for $2 million just as a backup, and it must be just something about Jeff Fisher. I think that's what we can conclude. Because now, if you think about it, the likely top three seeds in the NFC were all within the last couple years under Jeff Fisher on the Rams, and now they're all going to be in the playoffs. It's absolutely crazy to think. But, it's been a wild ride with Case Keenum, but just I would say – I mean, the first few games of the winning streak, for sure, there were a lot of, you know, it kind of felt like Case Keenum was being more of the game manager. But I think the last three or four games of that eight-game winning streak they put together before the Carolina loss, it's like, okay, the Vikings might have something. And a lot of credit, I think, has to go to the tools around him. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs have really helped out. Kyle Rudolph has been a big part of that passing offense. And the running backs, Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray, they've been a kind of a thunder and lightning combo as well, and just having an approved offensive line that didn't, poor Sam Bradford last year was sacked, or, you know, he was pressured more than any quarterback. And, it's been a crazy development, just having it's been surreal just to think a guy that I signed as just more of an insurance policy is going to lead them into the playoffs with real Super Bowl aspirations.
And honestly, if you think about it, like if Teddy Bridgewater's healthy coming into this offseason, Case Keenum probably isn't on the Vikings. They kind of signed him as Sam Bradford's backup because Teddy's going to begin the year on the physically unable to perform list. So I know that obviously your focus is on this season, and rightfully so. There's still a heartbreaking Vikings playoff loss to happen at some point this season, as empirical evidence would suggest. but my question is then, all three of those quarterbacks you mentioned, none of them are under contract next season. So what's the general consensus on how the quarterback room is going to shake out, and who's taking snaps for the Vikings week one of 2018?
That is an excellent question. And to be honest with you, from everything I've heard, it's not a done deal by any means. I really think a lot of the people internally, Rick Spielman drafted Teddy Bridgewater. Mike Zimmer has come up many times and saying, Teddy Bridgewater is kind of his guy. And, he's been relatively noncommittal until, recent weeks, saying that, not really committing that Case Keenum was going to be the starting quarterback throughout the rest of the season. So it'll be really interesting because I think, like you mentioned, none of them are under contract next year. I really don't see a way that Sam Bradford would be in the mix, although I think a team might still take a flyer on him. It really just comes down to what it's going to cost, I think, for a lot of these guys. If the Vikings can sign Teddy Bridgewater to a reasonable contract next year, I think that he'd still be the front runner to be the week one starter. But if he's asking for a lot more money, and I just don't know what the market would be with other teams as far as Teddy Bridgewater, just because you haven't, outside of the two passes he threw in garbage time last week, there really isn't a whole lot of film to go through. And from what we've saw at the 2016 preseason, right before he got hurt, it looked like he was kind of poised to make that leap, but you really haven't seen it in game action yet. So it's really kind of up in the air. I would put Bridgewater just as a slight favorite, but I could really, if Keenum makes the run and they head to the Super Bowl or something like that, it's going to be really hard for the Vikings to part ways with him.
Eric, it's Jason. Merry Christmas, I guess.
Happy holidays to you too as well, Jason.
Yes. Eric and I, for those of you who are Twitter, followers, users, I would strongly suggest that you search both Eric's and my handle together and enjoy some of the nice back and forth that we have had a chance to share during the season. I do have to say, I should say any of my trolling comments towards the Vikings, really, Eric, I want to clear the air here and just let you know that they're not for you. They're actually for Ted. So I just want to make sure that you're aware that where those are pointed and who those are for. Ted, if you're listening to this, please stop. No, I'm just kidding. Eric, it's great to have you back. We had you on right before the season last year, and I can't remember if that was pre or post situation, but it was right before the 2016 season started. And so the shoe's on the other foot right now, and it's got to, you know, I was in Minneapolis, and I just recently returned to the Phoenix area a couple months ago, so I'm sure it's got to be a party in the streets there in the locale. Just give us a quick, you know, how is everything going over there? And this is usually, you know, like I said, this is usually what's going on in Green Bay and in Minnesota. It's a little bit different. In fact, this very weekend last year, I think this game happened, and it was a completely 180-degree different situation.
Yep.
And while these teams are swapping places, I have to say, well, you were talking about Jeff Fisher and Sam Bradford, you know, Packers fans have completely lost their mind already. I'm sure that it won't be long until the Vikings don't bring Sam Bradford back and Packers fans are calling for us to sign him as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. So then you might have a Jeff Fisher tie to the Green Bay Packers. And I've also heard, so be careful what you wish for, I've heard that if the Bears do let John Fox go, which I'm expecting may happen because they're probably going to get boat raced next week when they visit Minnesota, you could have Jeff Fisher potentially coaching the Chicago Bears. So I don't know. That's just a little food for thought. But what's the vibe in Minneapolis right now?
Well, I mean, just touching on that Fisher thing first, if there's a GoFundMe page for Packers and Vikings fans to get Jeff Fisher in as head coach as Bears, I'm more than willing to set that up. I think everyone in the NFC North would, everyone in the NFC North would be on board with that, except for Chicago fans, of course. But, yeah, the vibe here in Minnesota, well, it's cautiously optimistic. That's about as crazy as we can get here. I mean, we know the Vikings postseason history my entire lifetime. I was born in 81, so I didn't get to see any of the four Super Bowl losses. I have only seen crushing NFC championship losses. So, and, of course, with Kai Forbath's troubles, he was perfect today, even with the backup long snapper. Good old David Morgan got a couple of long snaps in today after Kevin McDermott went down. But, it's always in the back of our mind that Lucy's going to pull up the football from Charlie Brown. We know that. But I guess it's as positive as it can be as a Vikings fan right now. The Vikings are 12-3. It is kind of an unexpected season, especially after the collapse that the Vikings had last year. And even the moves that they made in the offseason, you know, the Riley Reiff and the Mike Remmers were kind of met with a lukewarm response. It's like, well, they were kind of the second-tier free agents as far as the tackles go. But the difference that offensive line is making, and I think Pat Elflein, who had a great game, I think, again today, the rookie center out of Ohio State, just solidifying the offensive line has opened up so much what the Vikings can do on offense. Because if Case Keenum is playing behind that offensive line last year, I think he's getting slaughtered and he's getting drummed out of the league. So just having the small improvements, it seemed like in the offseason, have made huge differences in what the Vikings have done. Because we always knew the Vikings defense was going to be there. When you have the Harrison Smiths and the Anthony Barrs and the defensive line that they have, the Vikings defense should keep you in most games. But now with the offense opening up like it has this year, yeah, I mean, they seem like, especially after Carson Wentz going down in Philadelphia, the NFC playoffs, it's going to be a real fun a couple weeks to see how it shakes out. But the Vikings, yeah, they really do have a chance to be that first team to play a quote-unquote home game in the Super Bowl. So, again, it's cautious optimism. We're waiting for that other shoe to drop, kind of, but so far it hasn't, and we're just kind of enjoying the ride.
Oh, you said it out loud, Eric. You said it out loud. So now the universe knows it, and it's. I almost feel like the NFL is going to go full WWE here, and they're going to be like, "Oh, we can't have a home team in the Super Bowl." I mean, the Cardinals here in Arizona almost did it a couple of years ago when it was in Phoenix,
yep.
And it looked like they were on their way. It was this kind of a similar situation. They were on their way to grabbing a bye, and then some things just kind of went sideways towards the end of the season, which it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And in fact, so turning to the game tonight, since we're doing this show on Saturday night right after the game. So the Vikings get a nice shutout win on the road in Green Bay. I'm sure always nice to beat the Packers, a division rival. But, you know, you mentioned the offense clicking, and that's something that the Vikings have done well this season and has really been a big thing for them. We know that defense is fantastic. Harrison Smith with two interceptions. Harrison Smith, not of the Pro Bowl stature, by the way.
Right.
Obviously, came in looking to take it out on somebody, and he took it out on two Brett Hundley passes that were not great, but he still made some nice plays on the ball. But, you know, getting back to the shutout win, it wasn't the offensive fireworks that maybe you're looking for, especially against some, you know, backup players, younger players on the Green Bay side of things. But did you take away from this game that the Vikings did what they needed to do, and do you feel like this was, even though not a test for them late in the season, still, you know, are you still feeling good about the direction that they're heading, you know, with the playoffs looming just a couple weeks out?
Yeah, I think overall you have to be, especially with that defense. I mean, pitching a shutout in Green Bay, even against, a lot of backups on both sides of the ball in Green Bay, it wasn't the prettiest win by any means, but it was a win. A lot of times past Vikings teams let lesser teams hang around, and all of a sudden they're on the wrong end of the result. And it seems like they're just kind of coming up with big plays at the right time. I think the Vikings were on a historic, as far as the defense of third down defense, I think they were tied for the best third down defense since someone in 1991, I believe, on third down defense. And I think that number actually improved, because I think the Packers are something like 2-for-13. I don't have the stats in front of me, but so this, having the defense there, there are definitely concerns with Keenum, especially with the long ball. I think you saw it a couple times. I mean, he had a wide open Thielen for an easy touchdown, I think, earlier in the evening and missed it. And his long ball has always left something to be desired. He just doesn't have that kind of arm strength. I think you saw Rodgers last week with coming back, that kind of arm strength. He just doesn't have the downfield stuff. But again, I think Pat Shurmur knows his quarterback, and I think he knows his offense well enough to where if I don't think the long ball is going to be a big part of the offense going down the stretch. I think the play action, the rollouts, that kind of thing that Keenum has really excelled at this year, I think we're going to see that a lot in the postseason. And again, that defense should be able to keep you in just about every game.
Okay, so before you mentioned some of the stuff about, you know, the Vikings' history and all those things, so I am curious, and I promise I'm not trying to be an ass, even though I kind of am, but I was 7 years old in 1998, and then obviously 2009 is pretty fresh in my memory because I don't think I'd ever rooted against a team quite like I rooted against the Brett Favre Vikings, because I couldn't stand the thought of him winning a Super Bowl in purple. But
understandable.
Because of those things, I mean, I think the answer should be easy and obvious, but I know that from what I've gathered from Vikings fans is, you know, Green Bay is the team that you guys hate the most, and I completely understand that. But so with that in mind, was 1998 more painful because of that team? I'm convinced that team would have rocked Denver in the Super Bowl. I guess I don't know that for sure, but I remember how good that team was that year. And it seemed like Randy Moss, every time he touched the ball, something special happened. Chris Carter, who's a Hall of Famer, was, you know, the second guy. Robert Smith was very good. They had a vicious defensive line. And then somehow they lose to a Falcons team that, I mean, they got boat raced in the Super Bowl. I know the Falcons were 14-2 that year, but they seem to be on different levels. But the question I'm asking is from just a sheer emotional pain standpoint, I guess, is which one is worse? Because, you know, that question in Green Bay gets asked, like, the collapse in Seattle or, like, the loss of the Giants. It's kind of similar because as far as last game in Green Bay or a game that looked like they should have had it wrapped up by halftime. And I think you can answer the question either way, and you're not wrong. But I'm curious, from your perspective, which one was worse?
For me, it has to be 98. I mean, that just how good that team was. I think that's the main difference. Even the Favre year, they kind of stuttered down the stretch. I think they lost three of their last five games or something like that down the stretch. They got
blown out, I think, by a couple. I think it was like at Arizona, the couple primetime games, they had really kind of laid an egg. And so that kind of made you nervous. The game itself, I mean, both of those were almost equally as maddening because I think the Vikings turned the ball over in New Orleans five times and still went to overtime. So there's tons of what-ifs in that game. But, yeah, like you touched on, the Randy Moss, I mean, the unbelievable year that Randall Cunningham was coming out with. And Robert Smith, I think that was his best year of his career. I think he had 1,600 rushing yards or something crazy like that. That team was just so good, and to not even make the Super Bowl was just crushing. And, of course, having Gary Anderson not miss a kick the entire season and then miss the chippy. I remember I was my senior year in high school. I was over to a friend's house. He missed that field goal, and no one said anything the entire commercial break. We just knew already. The Vikings were still up by seven. There wasn't that much time left, but we just knew what was going to happen. So that one still sticks out as most painful. 09 is probably a close second for me, but it's got to be 98.
Okay, so now that I've gotten that part out of the way, I agree with you. Other than the 16-0 Patriots, because, I mean, that team was phenomenal as well. Oddly enough, Randy Moss on both of those teams.
Right.
That 15-1 Vikings team is the best team that I've ever seen that didn't win a Super Bowl. And, yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, the Gary Anderson kick. I guess the other question I have is, How I Met Your Mother has that whole thing where everybody says when Gary missed and then they all go, damn. Do you guys actually
damn.
Do that?
I did it several times at my place for Christmas. And, yeah, my family, we all watched the game together. And before we were talking about previous Vikings heartbreaks and we all pounded our fists and said, damn. Yes, that is part of the Viking psyche now, for sure. That's a great episode, by the way.
Yeah. Going to the game tonight then, you know, a lot of the discussion comes into play about how, you know, the Packers are a one-man team. And, you know, this year really gives credence to that theory, so to speak. From an insider's perspective, obviously I watch the team pretty closely. I mean, obviously there's other good players on the team, and Rodgers just elevates those that maybe aren't as good around him. But from an outsider standpoint, I mean, how many guys do you as a Vikings fan look at and go, that's a dude that we – like, for example, if the Packers are playing the Vikings, I'm like, okay, Harrison Smith, he's really freaking good. Xavier Rhodes is really good. Everson Griffin, the idea of him hitting a quarterback is terrifying to me. Just for example, how many of those kinds of guys do you look at from a Vikings perspective? Are you actually afraid of, or maybe that's not the right word, but you worry about them when you play Green Bay?
Well, I think a couple stand out that actually played tonight. That Blake Martinez in the middle of the year defense. He is all over the place all the time. He had a bunch of tackles again tonight. And Bakhtiari, I mean, Everson Griffin was damn near silent tonight. And that was just Bakhtiari basically going one-on-one against him the whole time. I think those two really stand out. I think Bakhtiari is the number one rated tackle from Pro Football Focus. And all the film I watched leading up to this game, I wrote about it in my preview. It's like, I don't see Griffin doing anything tonight, and he definitely did not. Other than that, I mean, I'd love to hear your opinion on where you think Jordy Nelson is in his career, because he's 32, again, got hurt tonight. It just doesn't look like he has much. He did definitely a couple of seasons ago, always scared me. But on the team that's currently constructed, those are really the only two that stand out, because Clay Matthews, of course, as a Vikings fan, this is incredibly biased, but I've always thought he's a little bit overrated. I think he's got a propensity to make big plays, but as overall, I didn't think he was, you know, that upper echelon elite kind of linebacker. So, I really do like Mike Daniels too. I think if the Packers are able to put a couple other pass rushers around him, he could do some damage for years as well. But other than that, I guess not a ton stands out to me.
To answer your question on Jordy Nelson, Jason and I were talking last week about, you know, the idea is they're going to have to pay Devontae Adams because he's a pending free agent, obviously. So the idea is they'll have to pick between Nelson or Cobb, and it's kind of been general consensus that Nelson was going to be the one that stuck around. But the last couple weeks, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I think Jordy looks a little older, a little slower. He obviously hurt himself tonight and didn't play the second half. Whether he could have come back if the game was more important, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. But it's fair to wonder now, I think, if it's a good idea. I think either way, regardless, I think if they keep Nelson or Cobb, that guy is going to be the slot receiver or primary slot receiver going forward, and they still need another outside receiver
going forward because, yeah, Nelson's at the stage of his career where he's a slow, plodding possession receiver. And, you know, a few years ago, like you mentioned, you know, 2014, for example, I think he had a deep touchdown against the Vikings in both games that year. So you kind of know that story. But he's just not that guy anymore. Now, whether his cerebral connection with Aaron Rodgers matters so much that they decide to keep him around, I don't know. I'm not Ted Thompson, and I don't make those decisions. But, yeah, that's kind of the point at where we're at right now. Nobody really knows. I mean, I kind of tweeted it during the game that that might have been the last time Jordy Nelson ran off the field as a Packer at Lambeau Field. So it's an interesting point right now. The rest of it otherwise, I mean, the only one that I would probably argue with was Davante Adams. But I understand if you maybe don't fear him because they have Xavier Rhodes. So that's the only guy.
Right. I mean, yeah, I would probably throw him into the conversation. It's one of those where he's had, you know, it's really been unfortunate for him this year having two, I mean, let's be honest, two basic cheap shots take him out of the games. Yeah, I would, when he's on and when he's healthy, he's definitely dangerous. Even with Rhodes, it's tough.
Okay, Eric, so obviously a lot's going to happen between now and the end of the season, more for the Vikings than for the Packers, but let's kind of fast forward a little bit here, and I know that the result of this season is going to impact your answer a little bit here, but as it stands right now, assuming that the teams are relatively similar going into next season and you're going to have Aaron Rodgers coming back, we don't know what the Packers are going to add in the draft, the Vikings are going to add in the draft and free agency, but how do you see these next couple of years shaping out for this rivalry? And I use that term because, you know, tonight's game wasn't great. You know, the Packers didn't have much to play for, and they obviously didn't show up great. The Vikings are on a different level than Green Bay. They're the better team right now. But you've had a swapping of division titles over the last three seasons, which to me indicates that there's a good amount of parity. You know, the Lions are still kind of hanging in there too. But as far as Vikings-Packers go, how do you see this thing shaping up? I mean, do you think that this is going to last for a while? Do you see Minnesota maybe surpassing the Packers? You know, there was some talk, and there was an article written about the job that, you know, Rick Spielman has done lately versus what Ted Thompson has done, and have the Vikings kind of leapfrog the Packers in that sense. So what are your expectations for next year and beyond? I mean, do you see the Vikings kind of taking the reins here and flipping the script, or do you think it's going to continue to be that dogfight that we've seen?
Well, I think overall, as far as, you know, the 53-man roster, I think the Vikings have set themselves a little bit ahead of the Packers, just because I think with between Rick Spielman and Rob Brzezinski, their salary cap expert, who seems to be he's a wizard with kind of staggering out these big contracts that the Vikings have to pay out. You know, they pay the players, you know, they've signed Linval Joseph, they've locked up Harrison Smith, they've locked up Xavier Rhodes, but they haven't broke the bank for future signings if they do need to make them down the road. So I think overall I think the Vikings are probably in a better position. Ted Thompson is notorious for not really doing too much in free agency, which has worked out, I mean, over the years for sure. But I think the great equalizer for this rivalry could be at the quarterback position, because we're not really sure, like we've already talked about, what exactly the Vikings will do at quarterback. You know, even if Case has a great playoff run, you know, there with his previous career and track record, there's no guarantee that he has a repeat of this season. And if they go with Teddy Bridgewater, there's no guarantee that he can come all the way back and make that leap that we hoped he was going to take last year. And when you have Aaron Rodgers under center for the Green Bay, he's a great equalizer because we've already touched on, he can make just about everyone look way better than they have. So as long as number 12 is around, I really don't think the Vikings are, you know, just going to dominate the NFC North by any means. But even no matter what the Vikings end up doing at quarterback next year, I think it's going to be a battle between those two teams. And the Bears only have one way to go. And I think once they get rid of John Fox, as long as they don't actually sign Jeff Fisher, they might be a little better next year with Mitch Trubisky improving in that second year. And the Lions do hang around. They kind of always seem to be around that 9-7 and maybe a couple of pieces away. But I think going forward over the next couple of years, it's still going to be a battle between Green Bay and Minnesota. I do like the Vikings' chances, but again, when you have Rodgers there, it's never a given.
Yeah, I'm just to bring your point to the NFC North teams, I'm convinced Chicago Bears are the gift that continues to give. my entire life of empirical evidence states that. So Jeff Fisher is going to be the head coach in Chicago, and they will find a way to screw up Mitch Trubisky, who I'm skeptical on in the first place.
Right.
I don't know how to evaluate him one way or the other for this season because, I mean, some of the receivers that were playing tonight for the Packers were like Michael Clark and Geronimo Allison, and those guys would be the top options in Chicago. So that's how bad
right.
the weaponry is for Trubisky to work with. But the Bears are the gift that keeps on giving, and the Lions are the Lions. Like, there's – I think that's self-explanatory. So this is a two-team race in the division. I mean, I don't want to look too far ahead into when Rodgers retires because that could be a couple years. That could be like 5 or 6. So I don't know how long that is. But the Vikings are set up really well. I don't think you're wrong there. If they can figure out their quarterback situation long term, that's a really good battle. And I honestly think, you know, this is the rivalry, if you will. I know the Bears and the Packers get that historical thing. But, you know, as I just kind of stated, even when we had Favre, like, the Vikings could still beat the Packers somewhat consistently in that time frame. And obviously
yep.
that's continued with Rodgers as well. The Bears, I mean, take out the year that even the year they went to the Super Bowl, the Packers beat them. So, like, the Bears just don't consistently beat the Packers. So the rivalry in the NFC North is the Packers and the Vikings, historical implications aside. Eric, one last question before we go. And you knew you couldn't get away without answering a question about Anthony Barr, I'm pretty sure. we had the discussion the other day, and I have stated my belief on this show several times about the hit on Aaron Rodgers. I believe that it's football. It sucks that Rodgers broke his collarbone on a play like that. However, I firmly believe that if the roles were reversed and it was Clay Matthews hitting Case Keenum, the vocal majority would be arguing that it's just football and Matthews hit a guy on the Packers side of things. And Vikings fans would probably say it's dirty. That's kind of how this whole thing works. However, on your guys' side of things, I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that both guys reacted poorly to the play.
Yep.
And that Barr's hit wasn't a dirty play. Obviously, I'm pretty sure that's how you guys feel. But in general, how do you feel about that situation as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right in the camp with you. I'm glad that you're among the more sane of at least Packers fans that interact with me on Twitter, which, of course, I might get the opposite extreme. But yeah, it was – I get the fact that maybe he didn't need to finish the tackle the way he did, but Aaron Rodgers has done the pump fake multiple times and run up the sideline on plays like that. So I understand the reasoning why Barr, you know, went and finished the hit, and it wasn't super late hit, and it wasn't like he tried to slam him on the ground. It was just an unfortunate result. And I think a lot of the Packers fans' angst over the hit was the fact that they kind of knew after Rodgers went out, it was like, well, there kind of goes the season. And it ended up, you know, even when Rodgers came back for the 1 week, he just wasn't the same. I think he needs more time for that collarbone to heal. So I understand. I mean, and like you said, if the roles were reversed, I'd be upset at Clay Matthews, and I'd probably, you know, maybe exaggerate, well, could have been a dirty hitter, he could have pulled up. And, of course, Anthony Barr, I guess his old UCLA teammate, had a kind of similar opportunity tonight and just kind of did the shove. And I'm sure Packers fans are screaming at their TV, why didn't you do that to Rodgers in Week 5?
I chuckled.
Yeah, of course. And so it's I understand both sides of it, but, yes, it's football. It's unfortunate. We've seen it way too often, especially this year with a lot of the superstars that have gone out. It's just an unfortunate result of a violent game, and it's going to happen every once in a while. And it wasn't anything that was out of the realm of playing football. It's just an unfortunate side effect. And yeah, that's kind of where I think if you look at it logically, that's kind of where the conclusion you have to come to.
Okay. So as a Packers fan on a show with a Vikings fan, I believe we can both preach to the entire fan base, both of them as a whole, let it go. It's over.
Thank
it's done
you.
With. the Packers season's over. The Vikings are going to go to the playoffs, and they'll probably do what the Vikings do in the playoffs. But I don't want to hear the Anthony Barr storyline every time the Packers play the Vikings for the next 5 years. I can't do it. And I think
that or see the clip of the play again and again and again.
Oh,
right.
Gosh, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Eric, I think, yeah. No, I was just going to say, the 2 seasons for both teams have, you know, at least as far as the division, it's already been decided. Let's round up next year and let's do it again.
Right. Eric, want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, it's been a couple times. I know it's probably a little odd coming into enemy territory like this, but you acquitted yourself very well, or at least as well as a Vikings fan can do that. You guys can check out his stuff with the Daily Norseman if you want to follow and yell at him on Twitter, or, you know, find a way to root against the Vikings in the comment section. I don't know, whatever it is you want to do, but that's Eric Thompson. And I believe you got another big set of playoffs coming up here with North Dakota State, don't you?
Well, yep. We're the Bison are back in the national finals in Frisco. I believe it's wild card weekend. So hopefully I won't have to go back and forth between a Vikings game and the Bison game. So the Vikings will have that weekend off, but yeah, they play the only team that has beaten them in the playoffs in the last 6 years, which is the defending champs now, James Madison. So that should be a great game.
So there you go. A lot of exciting stuff in North Dakota State / Viking fan, which there seems to be a lot of crossover with those two fan bases. I'm guessing it's because of geography. But, Eric, thanks
yep.
for coming. Welcome back anytime. And I wish you as much luck as a Packers fan can wish a Vikings fan in the playoffs.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Merry Christmas.
You too.
That is Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman, Minnesota Vikings fanatic, giving us some insight on the other side of the rivalry. I enjoy his perspective. I enjoy bantering with him on Twitter. It's funny most of the time. He's relatively sane for the most part. So, Jason, we were talking, and quite frankly, at this point, I don't remember what about before Eric came on to the show. So let's get into it real quick. I mean, the Packers lost 16-0. I mean, what the hell is there to break down in a loss where they lose 16-0 and look relatively inept? Most of the big picture stuff is stuff that can be discussed in the off season. We already kind of talked about Dom Capers. We'll talk about Mike McCarthy. There's potential, at least. I don't know if the chances are very high, but you know, Monday's Christmas, the following Monday is New Year's Day, but it's also Black Monday. I think there's at least a small possibility Mike McCarthy is let go. I don't think it's likely by any stretch of the imagination, but with this being about young players, Jason, the one who jumped out to me tonight was Reggie Gilbert, and he was a guy that I thought should have made the 53-man roster out of training camp because of the way that he played in the preseason games and other things of that nature, and it's just another circumstance to me where it looks like the Packers have scouted themselves poorly. I think that Gilbert may have made more impact plays tonight than Kyler Fackrell has all season. And I don't mean to make Kyler Fackrell a whooping boy. I'm sure that he's a very nice gentleman, but he's just not a very good professional football player. And that's the reality. But Gilbert, it was nice to see him do some things as a pass rusher. He had 3 pressures on 10 snaps in the first half, which is frustrating because it's a guy that I think that should have been here all along. The other guy, obviously, is those of you that follow Zach Jacobson have heard about him probably 600 times, is Michael Clark. Far from perfect. I think that there was a back shoulder pass in the end zone that he didn't stick his hand out far enough. It looked like he was being interfered with a little bit, but certainly had an opportunity to catch the ball. But he did make some nice plays. And that's really what this game and next week's game against the Detroit Lions are going to be all about, is seeing if any of these young guys can make an impact. Jason, I got Gilbert and Clark. Obviously, there may have Michael Clark, that is, not Kenny Clark, although he's a bona fide stud, too. Do you have any guys that stuck out to you tonight as far as guys that maybe are building toward next season but a little early?
Michael Clark with that nice catch was incredible. That was nice to see. I mean, those types of things. I talk about confidence a lot. That's the type of thing that can carry over to next season. It could be the difference between him making this roster as a bottom of the depth chart receiver or not. you know, Jeff Janis has been, you know, he caught a pass tonight. So for those of you who are in the, you know, Jeff Janis fan club that are still out there, not that he's not a good player, he's just not a very good wide receiver. You know, you may want to have hopefully DVR'd this one to see Janis in a home Packers uniform as a wide receiver for one last time, because I just don't know what to expect moving forward there. Michael Clark may take his role, and I wouldn't hate that. He's got great size, and he obviously knows how to lay out for a football. That was an incredible diving catch, and it was full extension, and he was able to bring the ball in and maintain possession, and the NFL actually surprised us all and ruled it a catch. So double win there for both us and for Michael Clark. But one guy I'm going to throw out there, and this might be a little bit of a head-scratcher, but there's just something about him that I like. Jacob, you and I have talked about him a little bit. I think I've mentioned him too, and that's Jermaine Whitehead. So he has obviously been exposed in coverage, and he has not looked good at times this season, although I think he's been put in some pretty rough situations. But, you know, he was the one that converted that fake field goal or fake punt in Cleveland. And he almost had a nice interception tonight. Those are the kind of things that, you know, again, like we were talking about with Michael Clark, that kind of get you over the hump. You know, the Packers like to give these guys every chance that they can to improve, maintain that continuity on defense. I think Whitehead has shown that he can pick up the defense, and he hasn't been, you know, a stellar. He didn't do anything overly special, but I think he's got a little something there that's worth exploring. And so I would say, you know, I would say Jermaine Whitehead would be my guy out of all of those that came in and haven't played a ton this season. But if we're talking about young guys, you know, whether they're entrenched or not, Kenny Clark really rose up and made a name for himself tonight. Two sacks. A month ago he had zero career, and he's got 3.5 now. Two of those came tonight. And when your best pass rusher in any game is Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, then – you know, that says something about the effort that they're putting forth. You know, the Vikings started this game with their preferred offensive line, so they've obviously been doing a decent job this season. They aren't any slouches like they were last year. So kudos to those guys, you know, because that's what this week and next week are going to be all about is, you know, obviously we're not looking ahead to a postseason. So it's going to be about what did these guys show us at the end of this year that can potentially carry over to next year.
Yeah, I mean, what's there? One other guy I guess I'd like to mention is Lindsey Pipkins. He made a couple nice plays throughout. He certainly doesn't lack confidence. He certainly gets beat on some stuff too. But I think of all the Josh Hawkins included, undrafted corners, I think Pipkins is the one that's played the best. I know Hawkins gets a lot of hype from some of our colleagues, Cheesehead TV, PTRN guys, but I just personally don't see it on the field. So that's interesting enough. The next question, and really the last, is Brett Hundley. And it's easy to just blame the quarterback when things don't go well. And I think that you can see that Hundley has gotten better in some facets since he took over that day in Minnesota. However, he finished the night with two of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. I'm not sure what he was looking at on either one. And he finished the year with zero touchdown passes at Lambeau Field. I know that he did some good things. The Packers went 3-4 with him as a starting quarterback before Aaron Rodgers got back. That got us a chance to at least see Aaron Rodgers play one more time and get a shot at the playoffs. However, it just wasn't pretty. I mean, it's one step forward with Hundley and several steps back. And it leads to the question, and we'll talk about this when we do our grades a little more in depth, but the Packers quarterback room, I know Mike McCarthy said he likes where his quarterback room is at. Quite frankly, here's my opinion. Is Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I have ever seen. Brett Hundley is below average, and Joe Callahan sucks. So in my opinion, if it were me, what I would do if I were the Packers is, in short, and I'll explain more again in the off season stuff, but in short, what I would do is Aaron Rodgers obviously returns as a starter. Brett Hundley comes back because you're not going to be able to trade him for anything. But I would sign a veteran backup quarterback, and I don't have names for you yet, but give me, you know, give me a few weeks and I'll give you a name. I would sign a veteran backup quarterback, and I would draft a quarterback with one of the compensatory picks that they're going to get this year, whether that's third round or a fourth round or a fifth round or whatever, and develop him to the point where if, knock on wood, Aaron Rodgers were to ever go down, I mean, Brett Hundley's proven he's not good enough to be a consistent starting quarterback. Nice guy. Looks like he wants to win. And he's an elite athlete. He can do some good things, but he's just not good enough to bring it every week consistently enough. So that's where I'm at. Jason, do you want Brett Hundley back as the primary backup quarterback next season?
I'd be fine with it. If the Packers go a different route, they know something that we don't, or they have a better situation, and I've just kind of learned to trust this coaching staff, and that means Mike McCarthy, not Dom Capers, obviously. But we're talking about the offensive side of the ball. I'd be fine with Hundley coming back. I mean, he wasn't great today in this game. He hasn't been great at times this season. He can't throw touchdowns at Lambeau Field, which is concerning. So, you know, but if it is him and that's the best situation that presents itself to the Packers, and obviously, you know, that's going to be after the draft happens, after the free agency goes down, and the Packers have had their crack at whoever else they might have their eye on. I trust whichever direction that they go. If it is Hundley, though, I'm all right with it. You know, I mean, he's not long for Green Bay. Obviously, after this rookie deal expires, he's going to be on the move. He wants to probably try to find a starting gig, although maybe he won't. I mean, you know, the one thing that he wanted to do with this opportunity was showcase his talents to get a starting job in the future. And I don't know if that necessarily is what was accomplished because of the struggles that he had. And then the Packers were also kind of hoping to maybe get something for Hundley in return, knowing that he might move on. And you obviously want to try to flip that investment that you made. They traded up to get him in the fifth round, so you'd at least like to see a fifth rounder, which now looks like kind of a pipe dream. But, you know, maybe teams shy away. I mean, we've seen what we thought was a surefire guy going somewhere and getting something somewhere else in free agency, or Packers fans have been nervous about some guys that were coming to the end of their deals in Green Bay, and lo and behold, nobody else came looking for him or wanted to sign them. So they ended up back in Green Bay. I'll use James Jones as an example a couple of years ago. So who knows? Hundley may be back anyway because there's just nobody else that's interested in him after watching what he's done. But, I mean, he made some plays with his feet. He does some things that are good. He made a couple of bad throws. Jacob, like you said, both interceptions were terrible. I mean, Harrison Smith's a Pro Bowl wide receiver or safety, whether or not he gets voted into the game or not. He made a great play on that first throw, but it was still not a great throw. But I'm watching Hundley dance around in the pocket and kind of hold his feet. And at one point, he looked kind of like Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's obviously picking some things up from him. So I think we could do a lot worse than number 7 if it ends up being him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other reality that comes in here is, and I've said it more times than I care to remember, chances are your backup quarterback sucks. I mean, there's 32 teams in the NFL. There's not 32 capable starting quarterbacks in the NFL. We know that. That's why Drew Stanton is starting in Arizona, or with all due respect, DeShone Kizer is starting in Cleveland, is because there's just not enough quarterbacks to go around in an NFL that demands them. So, I mean, to think that Brett Hundley was ever going to be Aaron Rodgers or anything close to that was ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying we did that because I don't think we did. I think expectations were tempered pretty well throughout this time when we talked about it. So that's an interesting question, though, you know, going into the offseason because, you know, like I mentioned, it's tough to say that's the guy that you want to be your primary backup to Rodgers if there's another option. Because let's just say, again, knock on wood, Rodgers has to miss 3 or 4 games. I mean, how confident are you that the Packers can win those 4 games, any of them? You know, or how many of them do you think that they win? That's a fair question because the other reality is this isn't a guy who was a rookie kind of thrown to the wolves. This is a guy who's got 3 years in this system, and his decision-making is poor, especially when it comes to home games. And I remain baffled by that. I don't get it at all because he was dealing on the road every time he went on the road. I mean, he beat the Bears. with a couple really nice plays. He was really good against the Steelers, and he was really good against the Browns, who, I mean, you can make a joke about it, it's the Browns, but they still have a good defense. Still got some players back there, and you still got to make the plays regardless of who's in front of you. So that's an interesting question. But the Packers will play one more game this year. They'll play the Detroit Lions in Detroit on New Year's Eve to close out the 2017 season. And as someone who's sitting here, I personally can't wait for it to be over. I know that's crazy. I say every year you only get 16 games. Cherish every one of them. I'll watch that game from start to finish. But quite frankly, I just want the game to be over. I think the Packers are going to lose to the Lions. Jason, I imagine you feel the same way. And I just want it to be over. This season's been a nightmare, considering what we thought it was going to or what it could have been. So here's hoping the Packers get a chance. We'll be talking about a high draft pick this offseason. So in a different way, that's exciting. But I'm ready for it to be done. That's going to do it, though, for today's show. So be sure to check out Packers.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter. We are at Packer Pulse. You can follow me personally. I am at Jacob Weston, or if you can follow Jason, he is at Jason Perrone. Thanks again to Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman for coming on the show. I wish his Vikings all the heartbreak in the world once the playoffs start. Now that he's not on here anymore, I'm sure that, you know, I can get away with that pretty easily. And like we said, we kind of know how this plays out if you watch the Vikings play the last couple of years. So before we sign off, I just want to wish, my goodness, I'm really struggling here. I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all that stuff. And we'll be with you one more time next week to wrap up the Packers season. 7-8 going into that game. They'll either be 7-9 or 8-8 to close out the season. There will be no playoffs. Brett Hundley against Matthew Stafford next week at noon in Detroit Rock City. Thank you for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the PAX podcast.